Yat.
Yat.
To whom?
To whom?
Sevaya.
Sevaya.
By service.
By service.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Kutastasya.
Kutastasya.
Of the unchangeable.
Of the unchangeable.
Marudvisha.
Marudvisha.
The enemy of the Maru Asura.
The enemy of the
Maru Asura. Ratirasa.
Ratirasa.
Attachment in different relationships.
Attachment in different relationships.
Havet.
Havet.
Develops.
Develops.
Tibraha.
Tibraha.
Highly ecstatic. Pariyo.
Pariyo.
Of the feet.
Of the feet.
Vyasana.
Vyasana.
Distresses.
Distresses.
Adana.
Adana.
Vanquishing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Maru demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Purport. Sorry, translation responsibly. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Maru demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. The association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Maru demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. The word Ratirasaha is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows, relationships: neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. A living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows. And when one is engaged in transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.59, Rasava jam rasopyasa paramdrishtva nivatate. Om Gyanti Nirandasya Gyanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Gupam Sagratatam Saganat Ruknatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Shanta Shri Vishakam Tamascha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gauranki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavano Sute Devi Pranayami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. So today we're hearing another verse by Vidura. After Maitreya Muni has cleared up some of his doubts concerning the suffering of the jiva, he's thanking him and Yesterday he said that he was obliged to Maitreya for that teaching. And in continuation of yesterday's verse, pretty much, he's explaining, Uddhava is explaining that by serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy. So, when we take up spiritual life, it's not the first time that we're having to hear from authorities. Actually, everyone is in the material world and in spiritual life also, everyone is hearing from some authority that they accept as an authority, and who they hear from attentively, inquire from submissively, and sometimes render service to. So, in the material world, Maya has so many representatives who is carrying out her service of bewildering the conditioned souls. So, she has so many representatives and materialists who want to increase their attachment for Maya, also inquire submissively and hear from these persons who are Maya's representatives. And so they go and they hear about the glories of family life, they hear of different holy dharms where there are many devotees expert in rendering loving service to Maya. And we have in Australia, we have the Gold Coast, we have Great Ocean Road, and what is the UK. So we hear of all of these. And then the process, how we can serve the body with great care and attention. That's after engaging in a pigyaga on the weekend. So we have to give the body some care and attention so we can engage in more sacrifice for Maya. And so these gurus that Maya has deputed, they're often very liberal. They will preach Maya's glories just for her pleasure, because they know these representatives of Maya, they know that the servant enjoys on an equal level with the master. So by preaching selflessly, Maya rewards her representatives with many material facilities for enjoyment. And she does this by directing those aspiring servants to serve these pure devotees of Maya. So the aspiring servants come and offer material facilities, material possessions, watches and cars, and meals at expensive restaurants, attractive women and so on. So we hear that, you know, when someone becomes very rich, they find that they don't have to pay for anything. They have so much money, but everyone just buys everything for them anyway. Because people aspiring to be like them come and, you know, try to attain their favour. So devotees, we are also, unfortunately, influenced by people who are rushing madly after sense gratification. So we have to change who we're hearing from and hear from devotees, and only hear from devotees, and disassociate ourselves from materialistic association. This is actually the way that Maya will, the prime way that Maya will, make us receptive to her, is by taking us away, you know, in small ways, subtly or more grossly, taking us away from the association of devotees. So, our mind will trick us that, oh, they don't really know everything, they're not, you know, who are they, they're not really pure devotees. But we have to see actually the strength that we're getting from devotee association, and that whatever we're performing is not possible on our own. We need that association of devotees to remain strong and whatever level we're on. Otherwise, you know, if Maya tricks us that we should go away from the association of devotees, and we're practically finished our spiritual life, we'll go downhill very quickly. So today we're hearing about serving the feet of the Guru. Krishna is the original Guru, and all others are his servants, or his representing him. Sometimes we hear people say they're practicing spiritual life, and they say, yes, I have a Guru, I'm following the instructions of my Guru. But then you try to, you know, inquire further, say, okay, do you know who your Guru's Guru is? And the Guru of your Guru's Guru. You know, basically, are you coming in some disciplic succession? And they say, yes, my Guru's Guru started this mat in India. Started some mission. So basically, we can see that their so-called succession is not coming from Krishna. It's just started, concocted by someone, preaching some usually impersonal philosophy, and then just preaching like that and making disciples. But there's no connection to Krishna. To actually be a bona fide spiritual master, we have to be, a devotee has to be coming in one of the four disciplic successions, coming from one of the four Vaishnava disciplic successions, coming from Krishna himself. And there's one, ours is the coming from Lord Brahma, and it's coming from Lakshmi Devi, Lord Shiva, and one more.
Four
Kumaras. So this is Krishna's original Guru, and he disseminates real spiritual knowledge through one of these four sampradayas. So when Arjuna is inquiring about the fate of the unsuccessful yogi in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Etanme samshayam Krishna chetum ahasya sheshataha tvadanya samshayasyasya chetanya hyupapajate. He says, this is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. So I remember many times I used to read that last, and I couldn't quite understand the grammar or the context or something he said. When he says, but for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. So basically he's saying, Prabhupada explains in the purport, Krishna is the knower of past, present and future completely, every little detail. He knows past, present and future. So if you actually want to understand something fully and properly, without doubt, then you have to approach Krishna. So Arjuna is saying, there's no one else that can destroy our doubts. Only Krishna can destroy our doubts. Krishna also says in the start of chapter 7, just hear from me. And if we hear from Krishna, then all our doubts will be destroyed. Asamshayam, samagramam. So therefore, to be completely, fixed on our spiritual understanding and confident, and our application of spiritual life, then we have to hear from Krishna. So Krishna is actually truly the only perfect person. But comes up somewhere in Bhagavad Gita that we might say, oh, well, Krishna's not here now, so that's no help to me, I can't actually hear from Krishna. But actually he's spoken, left us Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who repeats Bhagavad Gita is also representing Krishna. So therefore we hear from Krishna through his representatives, the spiritual master. So this is the actual qualification for a bona fide spiritual master. A bona fide spiritual master is one who just repeats Krishna's message according to the audience and what they can understand, but they never deviate from Krishna's conclusions. So Maitreya Muni, in this instance, Maitreya Muni is acting as the bona fide spiritual master. And so he's the bona fide spiritual master, not because he's a great sage. Krishna says, Name Vidu Surugana Prabhavam Nam Mahashaya Ahamadi Hidevanam Mahashinam Tasavshaha. So neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I'm the source of the demigods and sages. So there, in the material universe, there's many upper planetary systems, Mahaloka, Tapaloka. So here there are many great sages and saints, but they cannot understand Krishna perfectly either. Because they are still within the material world, still to some degree or another conditioned by material nature. So just being a great sage, that is not Maitreya Muni's qualification for being the bona fide spiritual master. But we've heard earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam that Maitreya Muni was present when Krishna was about to leave the planet and instructing Sri Uddhava. So Uddhava was there, so was Maitreya Muni. So then when Vidura came to inquire from, or was sent to Maitreya Muni, to inquire from Maitreya Muni, then Maitreya Muni just was repeating what Krishna had, he had heard from Krishna. And then, so that is his qualification as a spiritual master, instructing Vidura. We hear that the spiritual master is the transparent via medium. So just like a piece of glass is transparent. There appears to be some, you know, the barrier, like the glass is solid. But you can see through it. So through the spiritual master, we can see to Krishna. And through, you know, the whole disciplic succession is being channeled through the authorized spiritual master, coming all the way from Krishna. See in the right at the start of the Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita as it is, the whole disciplic succession is mentioned. Something like 50 gurus, I think. So this is the actual qualification, and devotees sometimes have this misconception that the guru must be a pure devotee to actually be bona fide. That is not actually the case. A pure devotee, then actually you're referring to bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. So the stage before that, asakti, if we understand, it's explained in Nectar of Devotion, at the stage of asakti, then the devotee's mind never departs from Krishna. And if the devotee's mind ever happens to leave from thinking about Krishna, immediately it goes back. So that is the level of that someone is on asakti, whereas ourselves, we struggle just to think about Krishna. And we feel like it's such a great success if, you know, we could hear the holy name when we're chanting, and, you know, just to momentarily think about Krishna is very ecstatic for us. We feel very happy, feel like we're making an advancement. Just thinking that, you know, only a devotee on prema bhakti or bhava bhakti, you know, if they're making make so many devotees, preaching so much, distributing so many books. If we think that's the qualification, that's only quantitative. It's not seeing the quality of the devotee. We don't worship Srila Prabhupada just because he was a Prema Bhakti, although we know he was, because he demonstrated that in his pastimes. But we worship Srila Prabhupada because he was strictly carrying the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that many times, that he was only, he was only coming to the country, to America, to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. For him, the order of his spiritual master was his life and soul. So that is the actual qualification. And we can hear from anyone who is repeating Krishna's message. Even in the past, when, if that misconception is there that, the guru, they're just so far, far out there, and completely pure devotee, and then in the past in ISKCON that has created problems, having that mentality. Actually, we have to see that we're serving the instructions of the spiritual master, and that is the perfection of the spiritual master, that they are carrying the orders of the spiritual master without adulterating them in any way. So the mentality of the guru, even when devotees are, when their disciples are offering them so much praise and worship and so on, then they are not affected by pride. So the mentality of the guru actually is that the guru thinks that my own guru is sending many sincere disciples to, to receive instruction. And Krishna, as the super soul from within, is giving me the instructions to impart to these sincere souls. And then when the disciples carry out those instructions that are given by the super soul, then the guru thinks that I can learn from them how to serve my own guru better. So in this way, the guru sees himself as the servant of his disciples. And by giving instructions that they can follow, then they themselves can learn how to better serve their own spiritual master. So we hear in today's purport that the association of the spiritual master can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. As we hear that, Prabhupada himself explains that we don't serve Krishna directly. We never serve Krishna directly. We always approach him through the guru. So this is the transcendental position, actually, that serving the guru's instructions actually is serving Krishna directly. So this is the inconceivable nature of spiritual life, that serving the guru is actually serving Krishna. And that service is passed up the disciplic succession to Krishna. So we don't actually, when we're talking about the instructions of the spiritual master, we don't have to think that's only limited to personal instructions. Like Prabhupada met his guru just a few times in his life, and I guess they didn't have the technology to have lectures and so on. He couldn't listen to Bhaktisiddhanta's lectures and get instructions that way. But we can actually receive instructions not only personally, but By hearing the lectures of our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, we learn what is their mood, we understand what is their mission, what they want us to do. So therefore, if we want to receive instructions, then we should try to hear more from our spiritual masters. That facility is available to everyone, and we need to take advantage of it. It's called ISKCON Desire Tree. There's thousands of lectures there. So, instructions of the spiritual master come not only when they're visiting Melbourne and we see them personally, but actually wherever they are, they're giving instructions. And Prabhupada's highlighting the word rati rasa, meaning attachment in different relationships. So, first of all, before attaining attachment to Krishna in one of the relationships, we have to have Sri Guru Charane Rati, attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master fulfills all desires, spiritual or material. We're trying to cultivate spiritual desires, first of all. So by fully engaging ourselves in service to the Guru in Sri Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, then our specific relationship with Krishna can be revealed. And we can, you know, that mood of separation that was felt by Lord Chaitanya, by engaging fully in that Sankirtan movement, then gradually we can also feel that mood of separation felt by the Brajavasis. But the desire to realize our relationship with Krishna, you know, even we may have some desire, or I wonder, you know, I want to advance such that I can understand my relationship with Krishna, but that won't be achieved unless we firstly have the desire to become the menial servant of our spiritual master. Otherwise it's a bit, you know, sahajya, we take it cheaply that I want to be a friend of Krishna, I want to be parent of Krishna. But we have to qualify ourselves by becoming the servant of the spiritual master. It's mentioned in here in the purport, the Lord is the enemy of the madhu demon. Or in other words, he's the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. So you may wonder, what are the sufferings of the pure devotee? Because actually they don't suffer, they're not. As we were hearing yesterday, the suffering is only due to identification with the material body and mind. And someone who's situated as a pure devotee is situated in their pure spiritual identity in relationship to Krishna, there is no such thing as suffering. So therefore, what is this suffering of the pure devotee that Prabhupada is talking about? I thought of two things. There's that a pure devotee is, or a devotee is paradukaduki, that they feel suffering for others suffering, for everyone that's suffering in the material world, then they feel that themselves. They empathize and feel compassion. And the other type of suffering that a pure devotee may feel is in separation from Krishna. Just like the each day when Krishna goes out to herd the cows, then it's such a devastation for the gopis that they can't bear to, you know, he's going to be back just at the end of the day, but they can't bear to be separated him for a moment. But Krishna appears in their hearts in his form and his leelas, so they go on remembering his different pastimes throughout the day until he does eventually come back. So also it says in the purport that a living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above mentioned mellows relationships. So before coming to that stage of being attracted to one of the relationships with Krishna. Prabhupada saying that we have to be in the liberated position. That is described in Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahmabhuta prasanatma nashokshti nakankshati. So, when we're actually finished with lamentation and hankering, these are symptoms of material conditioning. That we want so many things in the world, and we're lamenting for what we didn't get and what we don't have. But as we progress in spiritual life, then we gradually understand that we ourselves, the soul, has nothing to do with the material world, so what is there to gain in the material world? So then we can be free from lamentation and hankering and start to desire spiritually. Spiritualize our desires by, you know, desiring to serve Krishna and serve the devotees. And, you know, reinstate ourselves in our original position in full Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, asam yatamana yoga tushprapa itimemiti vashyatmana tuyatata shakyov vaptum upayata. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But who whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. So, as I was saying earlier, Krishna is the original guru. So many times in Bhagavad Gita, we find this word, matahi, Krishna's opinion. He's giving his own opinion. Just like in the end of chapter 6, his opinion is that of all yogis, the one who thinks of him is the topmost. So, to spiritualize our desires, we need to engage in the process of bhakti yoga, appropriate means. And therefore we will control our mind by fully engaging it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, Krishna says it's difficult work, very difficult if our mind is uncontrolled to make advancement in spiritual life. So therefore, we just have to hear about this process of bhakti from the devotees, try to apply that in our lives, see the effects, see how it works for us, and then that increases our faith, and so we hear some more, and we just persevere in this way, with determination, and keep hearing about the process of bhakti, how we can improve our bhakti, and perform bhakti with more enthusiasm, in Nectar of Instruction. Enthusiasm is described as endeavor executed with intelligence. So we may think we're endeavoring so hard in bhakti, but actually we have to see, are we using our intelligence too? Are we performing our bhakti in such a way that we can, in a kind of a sustainable way, that we can keep going on in our bhakti, not burning ourselves out, but using our intelligence to maintain the body that was given to us by Krishna, and therefore then we'll come to be actually enthusiastic in bhakti, not just enthusiastic on, you know, Friday night at Harinam and not enthusiastic for the rest of the week, but actually enthusiastic all the time. If we're acting with intelligence, endeavouring with intelligence, then that's the meaning of enthusiasm. So the Prabhupada ends the purport describing that when we're engaged in loving service to the Lord, our service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. So as Prabhupada describes, everyone is serving. Either we're serving Krishna or directly, or we're serving Krishna indirectly when we're serving material energy. No one is actually the master, although they think they are. They think they're the master, but they're serving. They're serving Maya. And when we come to the stage of loving service to Krishna, then automatically that attachment to Maya is vanquished. So sometimes we get hung up on our anattas and, you know, get a bit despondent. But here it's said we don't actually have to worry about them so much, because automatically they'll be finished by engaging in service to Krishna. So that is actually where we need to put our attention, how we can increase our service and the quality of our service to Krishna. And then we'll see that automatically many things that we struggled with will dissipate, just like a cloud in the sky kind of evaporates into thin air somehow. So this is the mysterious potency of Krishna, that Krishna can remove these anattas. And then Prabhupada quotes that well-known verse in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, to get a higher taste. So there's a nice statement by Prabhupada in that purport that one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. So as we know, Krishna has 6 opulences and he is full in all of them. And if we get a taste for any one of these opulences, if we appreciate any one of these opulences to some extent, then that will give us some higher taste. For example, the knowledge that's presented in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself speaking, or even the knowledge and pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, where actually this is all under the internal energy of Krishna, so it's actually being directly, you know, inspired, and Krishna is speaking through his devotees. So we can try to pray to get a taste for any of these opulences of Krishna. In that report, Prabhupada mentioned one who has tasted the beauty of Supreme Lord Krishna. So we have such nice deities in our temple, and from time to time, although we come before the deities most days, hopefully, if we live at the temple, or at least weekly, and online, everyone probably sees them online. So from time to time, we might actually really appreciate just the beauty of the deities. And that's very nice when Krishna can reveal himself like that, because everything is dependent on Krishna. Krishna is fully independent. He says that, that's described in the very first verse of Bhagavatam. Krishna is independent. So if he wants to reveal himself, then that is his own prerogative. And sometimes, you know, he's merciful enough to actually show us how beautiful he is in his deity form or anyway. So therefore, because he is independent, we can only endeavor and pray for Krishna to give us that taste, that higher taste in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, and by having that high taste, be able to, you know, not be attracted by material tastes. As Prabhupada was saying, one who's attracted and has his taste no longer has a taste for dead material things. The dead material things, namely being our body, other people's bodies, these are all dead. There's a nice statement in Krishna book about this transcendental attachment and attraction to Krishna. Um, So there's a chapter called The Gopis Attracted by the Flute. So they're talking to each other about Krishna's flute. Prabhupada writes, another gopi said to her friends, "My dear friends, the cows are also charmed as soon as they hear the transcendental sound of the flute of Krishna. It sounds to them like the pouring of nectar, and they immediately spread their long ears just to catch the liquid nectar of the flute. As for the calves, they are seen with the nipples of their mothers pressed in their mouths, but they cannot suck the milk. They remain struck with devotion, and tears glide down from their eyes, illustrating vividly how they are embracing Krishna heart to heart." These phenomena indicate that even the cows and calves in Vrindavan knew how to cry for Krishna and embrace him heart to heart. So even the cows and calves in Vrindavan have transcendental attachment to Krishna. And although even that's in the relationship of neutrality, still it's prema bhakti. As we heard there, even the calves had tears coming from their eyes as they heard the flute of Krishna. So, very important point that's raised in this, discussed in this verse, that this kind of transcendental ecstasy and having a understanding our actual relationship with Krishna is only possible by serving the feet of the spiritual master. In other words, serving the instructions of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is only giving instructions according to, you know, what Krishna, repeating Krishna's instructions. So by serving the instructions of the spiritual master, we're actually serving Krishna. And as Prabhupada writes in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 4:34, that is the secret of success in spiritual life. So somehow or other we have to become convinced that becoming the servant of our spiritual master is where the real perfection of life lies. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. I'll see if there are any comments or questions. Yes? Yeah, Prabhupada says you do need to accept a living guru because, you know, we have Prabhupada's books. You know, we're distributing so many books and people reading them and they're Prabhupada's instructions. But we need to get practical guidance from a guru, a living guru, because otherwise we can read them and we can think ourselves how to apply those instructions that are in the books, but we need to at least check that with a living guru and get clarification. And yes, we do have to have a living guru. Yes.
But one might say that only requires shiksha for instruction. Does not require actually a formal initiation to receive instruction.
I was actually, that was one point I was going to mention. Therefore, that our parampara is actually a shiksha line. It's more important for us to receive instructions of Krishna. And even some of our spiritual masters in that disciplic succession, yeah, it's a shiksha line, so not everyone in that parampara is a direct disciple of such and such a guru. But I think it's in Nectar of Devotion that Prabhupada writes that without taking formal initiation from a spiritual master, then that connection to Krishna is not actually established. And therefore, we, you you know, we can't make advancement in our spiritual life. So taking diksha is establishing that formal connection to Krishna. The first 10 items of bhakti given in Nectar of Devotion to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and take initiation from him. Then, anything else? Oh, yes, sir.
You talk about how you have to praise Krishna to get taste, spiritual service, but we also have to come to a state where we serve Krishna in the physical, not in the taste, isn't it? Like, I don't know, like a chariot system.
Yeah, like out of duty, out of. Oh, he's asking. I was saying we have to pray to have get some taste in our Krishna consciousness. But he's saying even still we need to still perform our bhakti yoga even if we don't have taste. Because is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Taste is the taste in bhakti is coming after we're fixed in devotional service, nishtha. So it's quite a high platform. But sometimes, you know, we're praying for that taste. You know, sometimes Krishna will give us a taste just to encourage us that, you know, there is hope, basically. You know, we can tend to get disheartened and think it's really hard, bhakti. But just, just out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives us a little taste to encourage us that, yes, there is actually something higher. And it's worth aspiring for because it's so nice that, we'll just, whatever difficulties are there, we'll just keep going and keep praying to make advancement and experience more taste and so on. Otherwise we do need to just do our service, do our duties in bhakti and perform them, you know, steadily, dutifully. And that is pleasing to Krishna. All the time Krishna is watching, he's not just ungrateful for our service day in, day out. He's actually watching all the time and watching that how we can become more steady and more fixed. Because if he gives us too much too soon, then we just become proud. So we have to demonstrate our sincerity to constantly and consistently apply bhakti over time. Madhubhita, yes, it was well known disciple of Prabhupada. The enemy of the Madhu Asura. Does anyone know who is the Madhu demon? Anyway, Prabhupada, he just mentioned in the purport, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. So, sometimes the demons can represent the anathas in our heart, and so Krishna can vanquish these as well. I was just hearing today, there's Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul Vrindavan. And in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, there's Kaliya, but Krishna, and Krishna dances on his head, or Krishna kind of swims around the Yamuna with Kaliya. Kaliya's not a demon in Goloka, but only in Gokul. And same with, the horse, Keshi demon, who Krishna rides around the Keshi demon in Goloka. One thing I hope. Grantra Srimad Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaur Premanandi.